The Sunset Film Society has been a continuing attraction for local film lovers looking to watch classic films each week, and the popular screening series is launching a particularly attractive schedule for February. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The Sunset Film Society was created in 2013 by local film historian and movie collector Jay Duncan, and for most of that time has screened classic films weekly at the International Museum of Art. I'm happy to have Jay Duncan back on the program to discuss the Sunset Film Society.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to see you again. Big film tonight. Before we get to it, I wanted to ask you just finished a series of sort of more contemporary films for what you normally do, action movies.
Right.
But it seems in February you're returning to your favored classical film period with a powerhouse roster.
Well, we want to try to have a good sampling. You know, obviously it's important to mix in some popular films from time to time to snag that audience.
Right.
But we'd like to, in the process, try to maybe educate generally what's out there that may not be quite as well known.
You know. And February, given that it houses Valentine's Day in the middle of it.
That's just coincidental.
It seems as though these all have a certain romantic theme running through them. Right. Let's begin with today's kickoff for the February series. You've got a big, big film, very popular film, too, at 2 p.m. What is it?
Casablanca. Right. I know it's Casablanca. It's the way it's pronounced in the film. But it was the little picture that no one knew how to end.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, it's become a lot to a lot of people. I think their all-time favorite movie, or certainly in most people's top 10.
Right. I totally agree. And it's one of those films you can drop into anytime and just get taken away again.
Oh,
the magic in that film. You mentioned the film that nobody knew how to end. It had a remarkable history. And one of the things you do at the Sunset Film Society is set up these films and give some background and context, and I imagine you'll get into some of this, but all of the problems that went on during the production of Casablanca, the way it was rushed to market to coincide with, I guess, was Winston Churchill and FDR
exactly.
That were meeting it in Casablanca
yeah.
At the time and to take advantage of that press.
It's incredible.
And the fact they didn't know how to end the film until the night before.
Which
became one of the all-time great endings.
Read these pages.
Right,
you know,
right.
One
to
of those.
Say these words.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Forever immortalized.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And it makes you wonder, you know, things like this, of this magnitude, of this genius, is it fortuitous or is it accidental? And, you know, I mean, everything clicks in this movie. As we know, I mean, there's never been a better cast,
yeah.
You know, right down to the
Humphrey
minor
Bogart,
characters.
Ingrid Bergman, Claude
yeah.
Rains.
Peter Lorre, Conrad Veidt,
yeah,
you know, I mean,
on
Paul Von Reed. I mean, you couldn't assemble a cast that way today.
But, you know, to me, I used to be in the camp that thought, well, it was just an improbable fluke that this film all worked out because nobody seemed to be happy during the production. The script was constantly changing. Bogart didn't like his character. Bergman, I don't think, liked her character. And yet you have this great classic. And to me, I now understand it more as a product of the incredible studio system,
yeah.
That this is what happens when you put the best people, even working under difficult circumstances
exactly.
And without a script sometimes,
exactly.
The greatest technicians
yeah.
Somehow all come together to create this amazing work.
I mean,
work
no one
art.
Liked it as time goes by. You
right.
Know, they thought Knock on Wood was going to be the hit of the movie. Which had been around a little bit. And of course, Dooley Wilson plays that in the film.
Yeah.
They didn't really know what they had, I think. And the audience let them know.
One of the themes of the film, of course, is sacrificial love. There's a love triangle there and some difficult decisions that are made during wartime. And
right.
Finally, the characters end up doing what's right for the big picture, not for their individual lives. And it's got this amazing theme that runs through the film is how one weighs your personal interests against the interests of the world.
Exactly, exactly. And this has moments of memorable dialogue that really literally have become part of everyone's
right.
Consciousness, I think. Yeah.
And remarkably funny. I had not realized how funny Casablanca is until I saw it with an audience. I'd seen it many times by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing it with an audience, too, I think one of the things you're doing is creating that theatrical experience again where
mm-hmm.
We see things in films when we're with an audience that we may not pick up on when
yeah,
we're watching
it's
them alone.
You know, as we know, film going is a social activity, and I think, drama and comedy and horror all are contagious. And I think, you know, when the person next to you laughs, you laugh. And of course, Claude Rains is memorable in his lines. I think he has probably overall the best lines.
Right. Very funny.
in the whole film.
So Casablanca, a big film, favorite film, a beloved film. Then you change things up the next week, February 9th, to a very intimate film, also about a type of romance.
Right.
Tell me about Brief Encounter.
Well, I mean, that to me just nails everything, because I think it's not glamorous. It's plain. It shows a dour London of 1945, rain drizzling. Trevor Howard and Celia Johnson are not two romantic leads, I don't think, you wouldn't think, but you can identify with them because of their naturalness, I think. They're not commonality so much, but they believe their characters. And, of course, you know, all of this is very straightforward and underplayed by one of the big epic directors. You know, I mean, when you see Brief Encounter, you think, and this is the man that directed Bridge on the River Kwai, Lawrence of Arabia, Dr. Zhivago.
Right.
So it shows the capability of a master craftsman.
The great David Lean.
Oh, absolutely. David Lean. Rachmaninoff is also used in another film we'll be discussing, but his second piano concerto beautifully, I think, highlights the theme of the film. Adapted by Noel Coward from his 1936 one-act play, Still Life. So you have the people that wrote it, also adapting it, and a master director, competent cinematographer, actors, and so forth. Stanley Holloway, that people will remember from My Fair Lady, has wonderful scenes in it. A British film that needs to be discovered by the masses, I think.
Well, you're switching it up on February 16th, going back to a film that a lot of people know. Tell me about Roman Holiday.
Yeah, Roman Holiday, Audrey Hepburn's American debut in film. And I remember when Gregory Peck came to El Paso, I believe it was 1986, doing his one-man show at the Civic Center, showing clips of his movies. And people asked him about Roman Holiday, and he said, I have to tell you, you know, when he was under contract with Columbia, it was, you know, kind of his name, if not above the title by itself, you know.
Right.
And this was her first film, and they wanted to have, you know, her buried down somewhere with the supporting cast, Eddie Albert and so forth. And he said, you know, you're going to look like fools if you do that, because she's going to win an Oscar.
Hmm.
And she did in her first American film. And he got his way, and it's right up there with his name, and nobody knew her. But he believed in her when working with her that, you know, don't underplay this lady here, you know. Maybe her first American film, but she's an important newcomer.
A great film to show 2 days after Valentine's Day.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the sparks between those two are really great. And I think for watchers or viewers or attendees of the screening, you know, it's also a great tour of Rome.
It is.
For free, right?
It is. There's no back lot here. This is all on location. And again, by a director, Best Years of Our Lives, I know, is at the top of the list of a lot of people, all-time favorite. And all that little film that he made with Charlton Heston called Ben-Hur,
right.
He directed. William Wyler. And so, you know, you have, again, the best of the best involved in these films.
One of the things that makes it work, it's one of those genre films, romance films, where you have people from very different stations in life.
Yes.
Finding one another in love.
Right.
And bridging all sorts of gaps there. I guess she plays a princess trying to stay incognito.
Yeah. Want to walk among the so-called commons, or at least see what the real world is like. And, of course, he's a reporter, Gregory Peck. And something happens between them. And something happens at the end. And it's just a wonderful, magnificent film, I think, that I think fits in beautifully with our February theme.
It always struck me as a little similar in setup, not in any other way, but to Frank Capra's film, It Happened One Night.
Exactly.
Where there's a reporter and a woman from the upper class
right.
who's being taught the ways of the normal people.
Getting an education.
That's right. And then the reporter ends up getting an education, too.
That's
that
right.
he doesn't expect.
That's right. That's very true. That's very true. Both come away from this changed people, I think, as a result.
You're going to wrap up February with a film I know is a favorite of yours, another film that maybe a lot of people haven't heard of, but from 1980, Somewhere in Time?
Somewhere in Time. A lot of people may have heard of it, but they, for whatever reason, didn't see it because that was the year of the Blues Brothers, okay, and big films that people were massing to go see. So in 1980, it was kind of a bit under the radar. It was acknowledgedly old-fashioned. It was a romance, and people were more action, I think, thinking at the, in that time. And that, but it's discovered itself, you know, in the 30-plus years now. And, of course, the Grand Hotel in Mackinac Island there off Chicago has become an annual visit place to go see the film now and to visit the locations.
Stars Christopher Reeve.
Right.
Sort of hot off of just a year or two after Superman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 1980, I think this was, Superman was 78 thereabout. So it's
sort of a time travel romance, too, yeah. Which is a hybrid.
And as you know, I'm a sucker for time travel films. And, of course, you mix in a love story.
That's right.
And Jane Seymour and Christopher Plummer and Teresa Wright round out the cast. And you have that wonderful John Barry music, in addition to Rachmaninoff again coming up in a crucial scene as well.
And written by Richard Matheson, who I think, hopefully you're going to talk about that because I know he's a favorite writer of yours,
yeah.
But both novelist and screenwriter, and
exactly.
Has made some wonderful, wonderful contributions to cinema over the years.
He did. A lot of people are familiar with The Incredible Shrinking Man, and he adapted that from his own novel and had to fight with the studio to end it the way it did, you know. So, so again, you have the original writer involved in adapting to the screen with the wonderful direction of Jeannot Schwark, who is not a familiar name either, but has brings a sensitivity, I think, to the events.
Everything screening at the International Museum of Art, as always, on Saturdays. They can just mark their calendar Saturdays
just,
at 2.
Just block it off.
Just block it all off. There's always something great happening down there. And the best thing is the price?
Price is free, and parking is free. So
perfect.
There is no excuse for people not coming.
$1 popcorn, right?
That's right.
Fantastic. Well, Jay, it's always nice to catch up with you, and this is a particularly strong schedule, so I'm really excited that you're bringing these classics back to El Paso.
It's our pleasure. Thank you. Please, everybody, come on out.
My guest today has been Jay Duncan, director of the Sunset Film Society. The Sunset Film Society launches a new February screening schedule of classic film romances with one of the enduring classics, the 1943 film Casablanca. The film will be shown today at 2 p.m. at the International Museum of Art, located at 1211 Montana, and all screenings are free of charge. For more information and a list of upcoming screenings, log on to sunsetfilmsociety.org. A final program note, you can get a classic film double bill today after Casablanca. Join me at tonight's Film Salon screening of the 1957 British drama Black Narcissus by famed directing partners Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger. The film stars Deborah Kerr as a nun whose convent struggles with the competing desires of the spirit and the world and is brilliantly captured in sumptuous technicolor. Black Narcissus screens at 6:30 p.m. at Alamo Drafthouse Cinema, and tickets are just $5. For more information, log on to filmsalon.org. On Films Engineer is Seth Van Meter. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.